Thank you, Jerry, for allowing me to be here. Did Dean really pick all the teachers, or did the Gang of Four pick them? All right, so thank you, Dean. But also thank you, Gang of Four, for putting everything together. I'm going to teach on Age Doesn't Matter tonight. You can go to 1 Samuel 3. Age doesn't matter. 1 Samuel 3. George got me this shirt. I'm very thankful for it. First Samuel 3. What's going on? Okay. First Samuel 3. You there?
Yes.
Age doesn't matter. When it comes to moving the word or God working in you or you doing signs, miracles, and wonders, doesn't matter a bit. In verse 1 of 1 Samuel 3, it says, and the what? The child. And the child, Samuel. Samuel was a child. And child means a youth or a lad. Don't you like that? Or a lad. From infancy to adolescence, some of them say. Julie Mercado, would you stand up a minute? I'm not going to yell at you or anything. Take a look at Julie. About that age. Look at her. About that age. Thank you. But just think about it. That's who God was talking to, someone about that age. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. So Samuel, a child, a lad, you know, like Julie, was lying down to sleep. And God talked to him. God called him. And the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. He didn't know who was calling him. But he said, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And God never talked to him again because he didn't get it. Is that what happened? God is so patient with his people, more patient than you could even believe. He's so kind and patient. And he just works with people. He'll work with you. If you want to walk with God, if you want to do signs, miracles, and wonders, if you want to help people, he'll work with you. He'll show you how to do stuff, just like he shows Samuel here. Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, what? Here am I. Once again, he goes, he thought it was Eli. He didn't know who it was yet. He heard someone calling his name. He didn't know who it was, so he goes to Eli. And he goes to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. He down again, or lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He was just a kid. He didn't know the Lord, but was God talking to him? Yes, he was. God will talk to kids. God will talk to adults. God will talk to old people. God works in people, and God cares about people, and he'll help you. He'll be patient with you. He'll show you how to walk if you want to walk. Like I said, he's very patient, very, very kind, more kind than we even could probably believe. And the Lord called Samuel, verse 8, again, the third time. He keeps going at it. The third time he calls him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. Once again, he thought it was the Lord. For thou didst call me. Finally, Eli, who is kind of half copped out, if you know the record. And Eli perceived finally that who? The Lord had called the child. Eli's going, oh my, God's talking to this little kid? Yep. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord. So now he's telling him what to do if he hears God calling him again. He says, say, speak, Lord. If you hear your name, say, speak, Lord. Helping him to learn how to walk. Therefore, verse 9, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Sometimes when God talks to you, it might be one word. It might be one thing. And then you pay attention. You start to listen. You let God know that you hear him. And everybody in here can hear from God, can get revelation. That's the way God designed this whole thing to be. That's why he put it together like he did. And if you hear God talk to you, maybe stop and go, what? What do you want me to do? Or what do you have to say? God does work in people. God does talk to people, from little kids who are born again to whatever. Age doesn't matter at all. At verse 9 again, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. This time, then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And then God went on. He got his attention. Maybe God knows how to witness too. First, he got Samuel's attention. God many times might have a hard time getting your attention. You understand? So busy thinking about this and that and the other thing, who you're mad at, what do you have to do, what's wrong with that person, driving sucks, all this kind of stuff. Maybe God needs to get your attention sometimes, because he does work. He does work in people. And the Lord came and stood, verse 10, and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. I'm going to do something incredible. Tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also have an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. That's quite a heavy thing, isn't it? And there was a man of God there, Eli, but he was copped out. He was around 90 years old. I think if you read a little farther on, it says when he died, he was just 90-something. So he was, you know, around 90 years old, and God had to talk to who? A kid, a youth, someone like Julie, in order to make sure that everything's got set right. And if you read the rest of the record, then he tells Eli this stuff, and Eli goes, whoop. Look at 1 Samuel 16. You can read the rest of the record yourself. What's the point? God works in young people. God will talk to you. Why wouldn't he talk to you? It's all through God's word. People just don't seem to think that God will talk to them, but he's already set everything up so that he will. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 says, and the Lord called unto who? Same Samuel, but now he's a lot older. But, you know, think about that. God's still talking to Samuel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, and now he didn't have to, like, get up three times and ask all around the house who was talking to him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So God gives information. He tells you what to do. Many times he initiates it when he wants things done, and he knows you'll listen. He knows that you'll act. And so he tells Samuel, who's been so faithful all these years, what to do. And Samuel asked him a question. And Samuel said, how can I go? Because, well, he'll say it right here. How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. If Saul hears I'm going down there to anoint a king, he'll kill me. And what does God do? Go or go away. Is that what he said? No. And the Lord said, oh, here's how to do it. What is this, by the way, if you know your advanced class stuff? Word of wisdom, right? Take a heifer. Take an heifer from Randy's house. Take a heifer with thee. And say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So how do I get down there without Saul killing me? How did he know how to get down there without Saul killing him? Take a heifer. Take a heifer. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake. See, that's what you do. When God tells you something, first of all, pay attention to him. Let him get your attention. And then when he tells you to do something, what do? You do what he says. You do what he says. And Samuel, verse 4, did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming. I guess he was a real wimp, huh? And said, comest thou peaceably? He was a man of God. And he said, peaceably? And they were happy about that. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, this must be the guy. Surely the Lord's anointed is before. He must have looked very impressive, correcto? But the Lord said unto Samuel, nope, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. You want to know something about God? Here's something about God, what he's like. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. He doesn't see things like you see things. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh what? On the outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. That's how he looks at you, on your heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse called Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And so, you know, Jesse must have thought, this one must be right. This one must be right. This one must be right. But none of them were. He didn't even consider the last one. Look, and Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? What had God told Samuel? Go and anoint one of his kids. And each kid comes before him, and God says, nope, nope, nope. And so Samuel goes, is this it? Is this it? And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And the what? This is the youngest of all those kids. Once again, a young kid, a young person. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. I guess Jesse didn't even think he would even consider his youngest son. But you know who did consider his youngest son? God. And why? Because God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. No dinner till that kid comes. He wasn't even invited to the dinner. Isn't that horrible? And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, which means red. And let's debate what that means, okay? But it means red. It could be like same thing that's used when for Esau with red. Some say, Bob was telling me it could be the complexion or something, very healthy complexion. He comes in from the sheep. Very healthy looking boy. And also, somebody that the girls would like. And he was sent and brought in, kind of like Caleb. Ooh, because Caleb is of a beautiful countenance. Look at him. He is. And you know what? Caleb's about that age. Look at him. Look at his cheeks are kind of red. Aren't they? Go ahead, stand up. Let him see example. Turn around. There he is. That's who killed Goliath. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not like George. You know, you see George, you go, he could kill Goliath. Easy. But this kid here, he couldn't even kill a frog. And he went in and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of what? A beautiful countenance. Just fair, handsome. He's just a beautiful kid. And why does God say that? I don't know, but he does. And he was sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. And also what? 3 great qualities, right? What a winner. Ruddy, beautiful countenance, and also what? Goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. This is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Tim Carr, can you stand up too? Look at him. There's another youth. Look at him. That's who killed Goliath. You understand what I'm trying to say? That someone around that age, that's who did it. And this is while all the other army guys, all the other tough guys, all the other cool guys were scared and wouldn't do anything. That's the one who stood up. Look at chapter 17. Someone who looked like that. Chapter 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man, now listen to this youth, this beautiful, ruddy, good-to-look-at young man. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine." Even Saul saying, just look at him. You can't beat this huge giant guy. And if you want to know how big he was and stuff, you can read that yourself, right? You have your own Bibles? Or you have one at home anyway or something like that? And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, even the king. You can't do it. Look at you." But you know, it didn't matter what he looked like. David believed God. "For thou art but a youth." There once again, like Caleb, like Tim. No way could you do it. "For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." And this uncircumcised Philistine, this guy's talking about God. He says he can fight God and God's people. "And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, like a dead lion or a dead bear, shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied" who? The armies of who? God lives. God is a living God. He's active. He's doing stuff. He does stuff. He takes care of his people. Of all those guys, and you know the record, David believed that God would take care of his people. And he was a beautiful, good-looking youth. In 1742, says, "And when the Philistine looked about," this is Goliath, "and saw David," what did he see? He goes, "What? You sent Tim Carr against me?" And how big was the guy? He's bigger than this ceiling, right? A big giant guy. He goes, "You sent a kid against me?" 42 again. "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was" what? "But a youth and ruddy." Oh, once again, ruddy. Must have been running again. "And so good looking." Here's this good looking youth is going to fight me. "And of a fair countenance." And verse 43, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." That sounds like the adversary, doesn't he? A lot of threats, a lot of scary statements, a lot of dare you to do it, dare you to do it. And David says, "You're right. I'm going to go back to the sheep." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of" what? "I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts," the God of all resource, the God that has so many things available to bless people, the God that has an army of angels. All the stuff in the earth is his, the rich God, the generous God, the powerful God. Now it's kind of like David was this youth, but what was behind him? The creator of the heavens and the earth. And he believed that at his age. He believed that. When you compare a 9-foot guy to the creator of the heavens and the earth, who's going to win? Stupid, isn't it? And that's the way we got to think. God backs us up. Listen to the manifestation sometimes. Doesn't he say it constantly? Yeah. Constantly? We got to remember who's standing with us, who walks with us, who's taking care of us, who will fight for us, and not look so much at how scary things are or how stupid things are. Keep our eyes on God and what he will do. Remember who we stand for. Remember who we are. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." Are you crazy? You insulted God? Are you nuts? "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." Did he say, "I can do it on my own with my good looks"? God will take care of me. And we got to be that bold sometimes. The adversary loves to scare people and threaten people. And we come back with God's word. We know who we are. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee," in a kind way, "and I will give the carcasses, and I will give the carcass to the host of the Philistines. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. So he cared about the animals and to the wild beasts of the earth. Wasn't that nice? He was going to take care of the animals by feeding them the Philistines. That was very kind. He was an environmentalist. To the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All the earth knows there's a God, the God who fights for you, a God who takes care of you. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear. Doesn't matter who you are, what you have, what your personality is, you know, how smart you are, how old you are, how young you are. And all this assembly will know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is whose? It's God. The battle is God's. God fights your battles if you don't get back down. What if David had said, you are really big, I better run away? What would we be reading right now? I don't know. Israel might have gotten wiped off the face of the earth right here, except for this youth, beautiful, handsome, ruddy young man. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is whose? The Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I don't know what happened, but maybe you can read the rest sometime. But in verse 56, it says, and the king said after it was over, and if you don't want to be in suspense, go ahead and read while I'm doing the rest of the teaching. That's fine. And the king said, inquire whose son the what? Called him a stripling. You know, that stripling just saved all of Israel. That young, beautiful, ruddy youth saved all of Israel when all the army guys were scared in their boots. Samuel started out, he had to confront the old man of God who was copped out. He was called when he was like Julie. David had to save all of Israel by believing God when he was like Caleb and Tim. Doesn't matter how old you are. Page 2. Genesis 12. We're going to talk about old people now. I think you've seen enough of them. I would ask them to stand up, but it would take too long. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land will I show you. God says to Abram, you got to move. Get going. Get out of there. Get moving. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and the Lord went with him. God goes with you. That's why you don't have to be afraid. Do you think the adversary is not going to try to scare you? But you don't have to be afraid. God is with you. God is with you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram had just gotten out of college, so he didn't mind moving so badly. How old was the guy that Abram called, that God called? 70. Now picture those old guys that, they're all over here. How old was Abram? 75. Most of those guys are around 70, aren't they? Aren't you guys around 70? How old are you, Drew? You're the best looking of all of us, by the way. You're the most well-preserved, that's for sure. You still seem moist. But is anybody 75? Can you stand up? Oh, and Juanita, look at Juanita. Can you imagine being told to get out, get going, get out of where you are and move? You can stand up all day, Joe, if you want. Thank you, though. Thank you. See, I told you it'd take a long time. But who called that man, that 75-year-old man? God called that. And he went. He went at 75. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. And so Abram, verse 4 again, departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Isn't that amazing? He did what God said. He took off, left, moved out, moved, like God had told him to, at 75 years old. In Genesis 17, verse 15, says, and God said unto Abraham, now he changed his name to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Was that God's word? Yeah. You know what you do when you hear God's word? You just believe it. That's all you got to do. Don't go, but, what if, but it's me. I don't know. You just believe it. And that's all you have to do. Just believe it. That's all you have to do. Don't add your own thoughts, your own doubts, your own whatevers. Just believe what God says. But look at this. What did Abraham do? Then Abraham, what? Fell on his face. What? Fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? What? Now how old is Abraham? Abraham, 100 years old, 100 years old. Anyone who's 100 years old, please stand up. Nobody? Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is how old? 90 years old, bear? How could that happen? God can do stuff like that. That's all you got to know. God can do stuff like that. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the world says. God can do incredible things. I love that phrase that's in the word sometimes. God does horrible things. And it just means amazing things that just blow your mind. And he does them all the time when you believe his word. How could a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old lady bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. God just says, nope, I'm going to do it. Go ahead and laugh. You can laugh. It's going to happen. And when God says it's going to happen, what? It's going to happen. That's what, do you believe that? When God says something's going to happen, you don't have to wonder how, why, when, where. It's so simple. You just have to go, okay, it's going to happen. That's all. That's all. That's when you start to see so many incredible things, the horrible things that God can do, the amazing things that God can do. You don't go, not for me. You don't go, I'm too little, I'm too weak, I'm too stupid. I had a negative thought yesterday. I, you know, had a beer the other day. You go, if God says it, okay, that's it. Nothing else. What he says. In Genesis 18, verse 11, it says, now Abraham and Sarah were, what? Well stricken, old, not just old, and well stricken in age. So how would you like to be old and well stricken in age? And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. How about that? God loves to do things that nobody thinks he can do with people who can't do anything. He loves to work with weak people who believe him, you know they can't do it on their own. Now, Abraham and Sarah, is there anybody old and well stricken in age? Some of you 60-year-olds think that. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed. She laughed too within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? And God said, I didn't say you'd have pleasure. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, do you see how God kept working with them and building them up just like he does in the manifestations, just like how he's provided us his word to help us to believe, to build us up, to get us to the point of accepting his word, to think it's true? How kind God is, so opposite the way that he's been portrayed by the Christian religion. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which is old? And here's a question you might want to ask yourself. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Everything's too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for God. And once we recognize that, we get a lot farther with this thing. Get your hands off of things a lot of times. Let God work. Believe what he says and let him work. Don't try to figure everything out. Don't do everything that you can do and then ask God for help. Is anything too hard for God? We've lived our whole lives where there's a lot of hard things for us, but there's nothing too hard for God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. Why? She was afraid. And he says, oh, you laughed. And who had the last laugh? And what did they name the kid?
Laughter.
And who told him the name of laughter? God. God. God told him the name of laughter. Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. How about that? That's a cool little phrase there, isn't it? As he had said. As he had said. And the Lord visited Sarah as he has said. God will do things for you as he has said. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said unto Sarah as he had spoken. Isn't that a cool phrase? As he had said, as he had spoken. He did it. For Sarah conceived, doesn't say she enjoyed it, and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, what? Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Impossible. But did it happen? You ever heard of Israel? It came from these guys, these two. God loves to do stuff like that, doing impossible things with people who have no ability and bringing impossible, wonderful things to pass. That's what he likes to do. Acts 7, get your hands out of it a lot of times. Let God work. Just accept what he says. It's like the worship manifestations. You guys write those out? I saw some of you doing it. No. Do you memorize them beforehand? Just get your mind out of there. Get out of your own head. Just what God gives you, go with it. In Acts 7, Acts 7, verse 20, in which time Moses was born, and, oh, look at this, he was exceedingly fair, too. I thought he had a beard and everything like that, but no, this is when he was a baby. I thought he looked like Charlton Heston. You guys know who Charlton Heston is, you young people? No, you don't. He's an actor. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So he was really a cool guy. He was brought up by Pharaoh's daughter, right? And he learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. He was like an influencer, okay? A cool Egyptian driving around in Ferrari chariots and all that kind of stuff, attending the greatest parties, all that kind of stuff. Verse 23, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So for 40 years, he was like, Prince of Egypt, right? Driving around, having fun, living like a prince in Egypt. And then go to Exodus 2. So up to 40, that's what his life was. In Exodus 2. Exodus. Sorry you had to go all the way back. Sheesh. Can someone come up here and find it for me? Exodus 2, verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. How old was he? 40. Anybody here 40?
I'll be 40 in a month.
All right, happy birthday.
Thank you.
About this age, he was just goofing around as an Egyptian royalty. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, looked both ways. And when he saw that there was no man, he killed the guy when he was 40. He slew, and he spied an Egyptian smiting, looked this way, and he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand, buried him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? So he saw two Hebrews fighting each other. And he said, verse 14, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. So Pharaoh wants to kill him. But Moses, what's he do? 40 years old, living the high life, kills the wrong guy. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. So he runs away and he sits down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds. He helped these girls. And also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. So he goes from being hotshot in Egypt to just living with some shepherds at 40 years old. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. That's a nice thing to do for somebody. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. So at 40 years old, he leaves his fancy life, and he goes and he becomes a shepherd and marries a shepherd girl. In Exodus 3, verse 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. So he became a shepherd, keeping the flock. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his servant-in-law, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God getting his attention, right? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I, I'm here. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, Moses, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And I will send thee to Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So he's shepherd, hanging out, taking care of the sheep. God tells him, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to get my people out from there. And in Exodus 7, look at Exodus 7, verse 6. Moses did it after a while. Great story if you want to read it. Moses didn't think, Moses was like, I've been waiting for you to make me a leader for so long. I'm finally glad you found out how great he was. Great I am. No, Moses is like, I can't do it. Moses is like, I can't do it. Read that record. God had to say, convince him, you know, and help him out. Sometimes you think you can't do stuff. Maybe that's under shepherding too. You know, I had a man who recognized that I could do stuff and help me that I didn't think I could do stuff. He put me in positions where I could do stuff, and I saw that I could. You know, that's the way it is sometimes. That's under shepherding, right? You look for people's good qualities. Maybe they don't even know what they are. And you help them. You bring it out in them. You give them opportunity to do stuff. In Exodus 7, verse 6, it says, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was how old? So he's a prince of Egypt till he's 40. He's hanging out somewhere, a shepherd, till he's 80. God called him to go and deliver Egypt when he was what? 80 years old. And who called him? God. He called him when he was 80 years old. I love this, just to think about his life. Living the fast life for 40 years, looking at the trees and the mountains for 40 years. 80 years old, go and deliver my people. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. He sent an 80-year-old man to free his people. And in Deuteronomy 29, look at Deuteronomy 29. So age doesn't matter, you see. The reason I said the teaching is age doesn't matter is because that's what the teaching is about, that age doesn't matter. And I think you are starting to understand that age doesn't matter, right, when it comes to God. It might matter to you and I sometimes, I guess, but it doesn't seem to matter much to God. As far as people being able to walk with God, represent God, get revelation from God, stand for God, take care of God's people, represent God, free God's people, doesn't seem to matter much to God. Deuteronomy 29. You know, it's hot up here today. That's a blessing, right? Like, I'm not cold. Maybe I have a fever. Maybe I have the COVID. Get away from me! Deuteronomy 29. Go away! Get your mask on now! Deuteronomy 29, 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. 80-year-old man is the one who stood for God and those things came to pass. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. In other words, they're hard-headed. You know, their hearts were hard. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, which the women didn't like, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy feet. They wore the same clothes for 40 years. But that's not the point of this. The point is that 80 years old, he led Israel for what? 40 more years. 40 more years. He led them for 40 years. An 80-year-old led them for 40 years. And that has to be because of God. You understand? It has to be because of God, because he trusted God. He didn't think he was some hot shot. He spent 40 years being a cool guy in Egypt, 40 years being a shepherd, and 40 years taking care of all of God's people. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 1, it says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zer. God showed him the whole promised land. He wasn't going to get in, but he showed him the whole thing. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto who? Abraham. And unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt never go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was how old? 120 years old when he died. He stood for God. He led God's people. Signs, miracles, and wonders. He freed them from slavery in Egypt. He led them those 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force, what? Abated. Age does not matter when it comes to God. God can work with people who want to listen to him and stand for him, do what he says, represent him, deliver people. God can work with people of any age. And you have every right to expect God to work with you, to help you to walk, to give you revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to show you if there's a devil spirit in the room or in some person, to show you what to do in different situations, to heal people, to bring forth miracles. That's how it's supposed to be with a believer. At any age, God is able to do that, and he wants to do that. Hebrews 11. Verse 6. Says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. What does God look for? Believing faith. Faith is firm persuasion, the conviction which is based on hearing, not upon sight or knowledge. You are convinced that something is true because you heard it from God's word. And that's it. You don't put your thoughts in there, your doubts. You don't go, what about this? What about that? You are just convinced because God said it that it'll happen. That's faith, or that's believing. You know, there's different pistis, pistos, pistotheo, pistols. It's not based on what you see. It's not based on your past. It's not based on what you know. It's because God said it. And that's simply how you get things done. It's not based on how cool you are, how smart you are. If you have been in the Way Corps, if you haven't been in, this and that and the other thing, do you believe what God says? Do you believe what God says? It's not based on sight. It's not based on knowledge. It's a firmly relying confidence in what we hear from God in his word. And look at this, verse 7. By what? Faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham, verse 8. Verse 9, by what? Faith, verse 11. Through faith, who? Sarah. She just finally believed what God said, I guess, right? Through faith. Verse 13, these all died in what? Faith. They believed what God said. And that's simply what you have to do. God has made it so simple. Do you believe that God is not mad at you? He says it. He says. Do you believe you're at peace with God? Why? He said it. Do you believe you're righteous? He said it. Do you believe that you can go to God at any time and he'll answer your prayers? Why? He said it. Based on what he says, you just believe it. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Don't you love that? We're strangers, we're pilgrims. We don't get this place too well. But we believe God, and yet they didn't receive what you have. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is what? It's our sufficiency is God. We trust God no matter how young or old or weak or dumb we are or whatever we are. We trust God. We look to God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, that's the administration we were reading about, all those guys, the law administration, written and engraven in stones, was glorious. Look at all the cool things we read about that God did in that administration for people, young people, old people. Verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, there's so much glory, so many cool things happened, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be what? You have even more. It's more glorious now, more cool things now, more wonderful things now. We have more available to us now. And look what God was able to do for those guys, no matter what their age then. Acts 1. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, but ye shall receive what? Power. That's inherent power. Inherent means permanent, inseparable power. It's power that is a part of you. It's who you are. You are a person with the power of God in you. Do you believe it? That's all you have to do. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Permanent, inseparable power. Power that is a part of you like your foot. Part of you, who you are. You're a powerful person. That's what God says. Full of the power of God. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? We have power to be witnesses. God wants us to use his power to witness, you know, so that all the world knows there is a God. Knows there's a God. We have power to manifest, power to help people, power to heal people, to witness that God is real, God cares, God loves people, God heals people, and that Jesus Christ came that they could live a more than abundant life. Look at Ephesians 3. Do you think you have power?
Yes.
Why? God said it. That's all. That's all you have to know. Ephesians 3. We receive power so we could be witnesses. Remember the guy, the lame guy born at the Temple Beautiful or whatever it's called? Remember that after he got healed, everyone's just like, why were they like, that's an intention getter, isn't it? Barney, who they walk by every day for however long, leaping around, then they had a chance to speak, didn't they? Yep. Do you have that power? Who designed all this, by the way? God designed this. Ephesians 3. Verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, strengthened. You've been made powerful in effect. In other words, you have power to affect things, power to bring things to pass. Strengthened with might. You've been strengthened with strength, power, ability, that he would grant you to be strengthened, that he would grant you according to whose riches? His riches. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? You have his Spirit in the inner man. Look at Ephesians 1. You have the power of God and you can manifest it as we and be witnesses that God is real, that Jesus Christ did come, that he was raised from the dead, that God cares about people, that he loves people, that he doesn't want them to be sick. He doesn't want them to go through all the stuff they go through. We can witness that with the power of God. Stand for God in Ephesians 1. Verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the little bit of power to usward. Is that what that says? He wants you to know that you have power. And how can you use that power? Try believing it. Even though you're a dick. Even though you're old. Even though you're young. Even though you're Joel and 40. Because this is what God's word says. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This power that you have, he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When Jesus Christ was crucified, he was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was wounded, bruised, humiliated. His body was broken. His blood was shed. And like every man since Adam, he died. He suffered the things that happen to people in the world. The way that all the bad things that happened in the world, he took on him. He was dead for 3 days and three nights, and God got him up with his power. He raised him from the dead. He delivered him from death. All those things that were done to him, he delivered him from those things with his power and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and power. And look what it says, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? According to the working of his mighty power, which he what? That power of God that got Jesus Christ up. 2 Corinthians 4. God delivers. He knows what happens in this world. No one gets out unscathed. He delivers people. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And the literal from Walter is, wherefore we are not discouraged, although our outer person is decaying. Even God agrees with that. Your outer person is decaying. I'm decaying. Yet our inner person is renewed day by day. Your inner man, the God in Christ in you, remains active, powerful, like a volcano, like a whirlwind. It never gets weak. It's not weak when you're young. It's not weak when you're old. It's not weak when you're in the middle. It never weakens. Every day you wake up with God in Christ in you, and that never gets weak. That never decays. That's the power that you have, no matter what age you are. I'll close in Isaiah 40. God is active. He works in you. Reading this because I like it, sorry. 40:25. To whom will then you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? That's our God, the Holy One. Lift up your eyes. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off of the world. Get your eyes off of your weaknesses. Who are you really? What does God say? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. God in Christ in you, the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He doesn't get tired. He's not weary. He's always there to supply. He's always there for you. If you need grace, he gives you grace. If you use up your grace, he gives you more grace. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows what to do, and he can tell you what to do. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he what? Increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint. Even the youth in purple shirts shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. God gives strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. All right? So that's all for me.